All right, guys, we're back with another week's episode of Architecture Matters Podcast. A little bit of a two-month hiatus, but now we're finally back to it. And with a little bit of a break like that, you already know we're back with, you know, different adventures, new topics, and definitely new guests. So stay tuned. Welcome back, Architecture Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Trevino, going solo on this episode, so bear with me, guys. It's going to be a little different. So as I previously mentioned in the beginning of this episode, a little bit of a two-month hiatus, you know, deadlines, traveling, exploring, doing some different things than usual, but also listening to a lot of different podcasts and videos and getting some new ideas, trying to, you know, see how I can implement that into the AMP podcast and see what we can do. But on this episode, I'm gonna get straight to it, guys. I recently played tour guide. I went back home, not home, but I went back to New York. You know, everybody asks where I'm from. I always just say Jersey, but out here in Texas, it's just easier. I'm gonna just say New York. Even though that's not necessarily the case. But anyway, so went back, took my best friend to New York. We stayed in Jersey with family. But every day we were going into the city. And honestly, this was the first time that I've done this much. Like every time I go and visit, I go and see family. I go into New York once or twice with a friend. Shout out to Arthur over in Jersey doing his thing. You know, and there, so usually I just go back, it's very low key, very relaxed. I never do that whole tourist guide thing, but this time it was a must. I mean, there was no way I was taking my best friend into the city, that concrete jungle, and not seeing everything. So we were there, we got there, let me think, Wednesday, I think we got there Wednesday. We were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a little detour, Sunday, Monday, we left Tuesday. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday technically wasn't in the city. Sunday, Monday. So that's 5 days. So this episode is going to be what to see and how to see everything important that I think that's important architecturally, visually as a tourist within just 5 days. All you need, guys, is 5 days in the city. Honestly, you could probably do it in 3 or 4, but you're going to be hustling even more than we were already hustling. You're going to end up seeing how many miles we ended up walking every single day. The metrics of it are absolutely crazy. But of course, if you want to take your time, if you want to actually live in the city, you want to cut down on some of the commute, obviously recommend, you know, staying midtown or downtown somewhere if you want to be spending that bread, you know what I'm saying? But if a little more of an affordable option, either Airbnb, family hotels over across the Hudson in Jersey, I mean, you got options. So on the Jersey side towards Washington Heights, right? That's Upper Manhattan, a little past Upper Manhattan, towards right across the GW Bridge, which actually one of the days, funny story, we walked it. I'll get into that later. That was my first time walking it. A lot of firsts this time. And that's the crazy thing. My dad always says it, and you know, he actually hasn't seen a lot of things in New York, and I'm not surprised, but I'm a little surprised, but I'm still not surprised that I saw a lot of firsts this time. And I'll get into that. Even though I like lived around it for 5 years, you know, went into the city every weekend for church and et cetera, had friends there. Never really got to see all these, you know, monuments or you know, the go-to places for pictures, etc. But hey, when the best friend is coming into town and we need a little vacation time, you already know. But you know what? He's keeping me on my toes, and
that's why he's the GOAT.
Facts. So let's get to it. So if you're going to be staying in Jersey, you want to be looking at these areas right across the right across Upper Manhattan, Washington Heights, at the GW. You got Fort Lee. Fort Lee, it's a predominantly Asian town, if that's what you want to call it. And it's, you know, it's literally like just a hop, skip, and a throw away from New York City. Highly recommend that. Edgewater, so there's Cliffside Park and Edgewater. Cliffside Park is where I'm from, and it was where I went to high school and I grew up. But that's besides the point. So that's where I'm from. And, you know, obviously Cliffside Park, right? That's on a cliff. Edgewater is at the edge of the water. So once you go down that cliff, you got Edgewater, you got the nice views, a lot of shopping, etc. along the Hudson, a lot of piers on the Jersey side. You can walk that Cliffside Park. It is what it is. Not going to go too much into that. If you keep going, there's then West New York, Union City, Weehawken, Hoboken, Jersey City. And then once you go past a little past Jersey City, there's some parks where you can see the Statue of Liberty. So all along that west side of the Hudson in Jersey, there's a few good spots. Hoboken and Jersey City, I'm pretty sure I heard that they call Jersey City like the sixth borough. So there's five boroughs in New York. Let me not get this wrong, but I believe it's I'm clearly not even a New York native, but Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, that's four. The fifth one is Staten Island. Long Island, that don't count. They call that the Wrong Island. So in Jersey, if you want to be in the sixth borough, that's Jersey City, and you can easily, that's towards the Lincoln Tunnel. There's actually a ferry that'll take you straight into Lower Manhattan, Tribeca Financial District area. Wasn't able to take it this time. But any other place like Hoboken's real nice. Always forget the name of the brick townhomes. Very East Coast. Always forget the name. But West New York, North Bergen area, Fairview, Cliffside Park. I'd probably stay in Cliffside Park or Fort Lee, just because of the proximity to the bridge. Unless you're gonna stay all the way in Jersey City, then you have that ferry ride. It's fairly cheap, few dollars. But the first day that we were there, we didn't do much. So we actually flew. This is my first time flying into Newark. I usually fly into LaGuardia, but we flew into Newark, and then we took the train straight into, where did we go? Penn Station? I believe it was Penn Station. We took the train to 42nd Street, and then we met up with my dad. We took the A train all the way up, get some Dominican up in Washington Heights. And then we just crossed over to Jersey after dinner or late lunch, whatever it was. And then we were just, back at home, relaxing, preparing our minds, kind of setting up the list for what to do. So then on Thursday, this is when it really got started. And bro, we were not ready for what was about to happen. After that day, we were straight.
Bruh.
Like we couldn't even walk. Blisters on our feet. Exhaustion, tired. I mean, it was crazy how much walking, traveling, commuting that we did. And the great thing about New York is just like the transportation in general. Like it sucks, but it doesn't suck because if you have a car, it's impossible. It's impossible. You're going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours in the car, trying to find parking, another 30 minutes to an hour. Maybe you're paying $50 for parking for the day, whatever case may be. And then, obviously not staying in one place because, you don't want to be walking and taking the transportation. That way sucks. The good thing about it is if you're taking public transportation, it is dirt cheap. $2.75 for the metro, including all your transfers. And then Man, that was really it. All we needed was 275. And oh, and the metro, it's even upgraded where you don't need to be getting the metro. Ain't nobody gonna know about this unless you're from New York. But in New York, you need a yellow metro card. It spits out of the machine, and you can input an amount of money onto it. So you just put in $5, $10, $20, whatever dollars onto the account prepaid, and then once you swipe the turnstile pass, you know, it unlocks and you can enter into the subway. The other transportation that we've taken, there's some small white buses, fits about, I don't know, 20-ish people. Standing could easily fit like 30, 35. That's about what were we spending there. We were spending $2 from Cliffside to the bridge, right? That's $2. Then we had to get the New Jersey Transit bus to cross over. Because crazy enough, I don't know. Yo, honestly, New York and Jersey take an L for this one. This is straight foolery that they really did this. So usually, and I got my best friend hyped for this. So usually, whenever I went to go visit, I would take the small white bus, right? $2. It fits about 20, 35 people for standing. Never super packed though. Take that $2 to the bridge, get off, no biggie. Now I got to cross the bridge. And you're like, oh man, what are you going to do? You just got off the bus. Well, there's a beautiful thing in Jersey that actually ended last year because the governors and mayors just want to make money over there. They took away carpool. So carpool was this fascinating idea of when you could literally just hitch a ride with random strangers coming into New York, and the benefit for the driver was that this would give them, you know, let's just say like a 50% or more discount for that toll entering New York on the GW, because the GW is a toll only going into New York. It's not a toll going into Jersey, because let's be real, ain't nobody care about Jersey. But it is a partnership between, and that money's, you know, maintaining the bridge and yada yada yada. So update on it, it is a $16 tollway to enter New York. Every single time you enter New York, $16 tolls. Not to mention the various tolls and bridges that are already in New York, going into Manhattan, from Manhattan to Brooklyn. Like if you're gonna go to any of the airports like LaGuardia, there's like two tolls right there. It's probably $8 each. So that's 16. Plus if you're from Jersey, and you're driving to the airport, dropping somebody off, that's 16 for the bridge. So that's $32 just to get to the airport. So rather than paying that 16, that's why we never drove into the city. We took the $2 bus. And then for, I believe for like two or three tickets on the New Jersey Transit, it was like $5.50. So we took one. So obviously crossing over and then coming back, that's just one ticket. But it spent about $5.50 for, I want to say, two tickets. So what is that? $2.25 plus two. You're looking at $4.25 just to get into New York, right? From Jersey. Unless you're going to walk it. Good luck with that. That's over a mile walk. It's a nice walk though at night when it's pitch black and the buses didn't come. So we did that Thursday. Our first trip was down to Little Island. If y'all haven't heard about Little Island, let me pull something up actually. Little Island, New York. Y'all should definitely Google it. It's a little island at Pier 55. It's an artificial island park that's in the Hudson River west of Manhattan in New York City. It's adjoining the Hudson River, adjoining the Hudson River Park. And this was designed by Heatherwick Studio, the same people who did the man, I go blank every time I'm on the podcast. That is crazy. The vessel, duh. Okay, so we've spoken on the podcast previously. Man, I just took a major L. Like, how do I not remember the vessel? I cannot be doing that to y'all. So Heatherwick, they previously designed the vessel, and we had a forgot which episode, but we did speak on it. Everybody knows it as the honeycomb staircase. It's not. The really only function of it is for the community to basically just walk up it, take pictures, and you know, sightseeing. it is in a nice district. It is in a nice area that's very artsy. It's coming to life. So I think it was a great addition. I like what they're doing there. Unfortunately, and we've talked about this on Deason.com. It's a nice architectural, one of the many architectural websites. I actually see an article right now. Let me just accept all these cookies. So Heatherwick vessel closes again after fourth suicide, unfortunately, right? So the vessel's viewpoint at New York Hudson Yards. Hudson Yards is that area that it's located in. It's been temporarily closed after the fourth person died by suicide after jumping from the Heatherwick studio design structure. So that's very unfortunate, and it goes into detail about that. Visitors are banned from the Honeycomb Shame attraction. It's 154 staircase, that made it 80 different platforms, and actually reopened in May 29th, which is actually today. So it's reopening now. So when we went a couple weeks ago, it was unfortunately closed. We were able to go to that first level, take that picture looking up, that like kind of selfie. You put the camera on the ground, and it has a nice like fish lens kind of vortex look. Super cool space. I loved walking up to it, but unfortunately, because of the tragedy that's been happening, and everybody wants to go crazy these days, it's been closed. But so the vessel is fairly close to Little Island. So what we had done, let me go back to Little Island. So it was designed by the same people that did the vessel, Little Island Heatherwick Studio. And it is near the intersection of West Street and West 13th Street in the Meatpacking District of Chelsea neighborhoods of Manhattan. So the address is at Pier 55. Something I learned when we actually one day, actually it was on Thursday, after all this, we ended up taking a ferry around Manhattan, and I learned this. So like the piers are 40 streets. You add 40 to the street number that it's at, or if it's Pier 55, you subtract 40 to find what street it's at. So like Pier 55, if you subtract 40, 55 minus 40 is 15. It's on West 13th Street, 14th Street. So it's like basically you just subtract 40. Interesting fact that I didn't know. But Little Island was the first destination that we went to. And this is an island, whether it's... I don't know the details on it, but like cast in place or precast, but it's basically on these cast of concrete pillars. And it's a beautiful landscape park, completely free. There's a like amphitheater seating, no dogs allowed on the grass because everybody's like picnicking, small little shops, maybe coffee or ice cream or whatever it may be. It doesn't look like they kind of rotate. Kind of looks like it's a designated something. Restrooms on there, a bunch of trees, and honestly, there's some like installations, kind of like spinning wheels, and a lot of vegetation, a ton of different landscaping. Super interesting. It's really nice to walk around. The pillars are at different heights, so the land is literally rising and shortening throughout this journey throughout it. There's two main entrances, and they're huge. I mean, they're probably like Texas wide highways, like one way of the Texas, like five lanes, like it's super wide, and there's two, and I could be exaggerating, but there's two entrances, thankfully, because if, there's panic or something happens and there's only one entrance and exit, I mean, from a life safety standpoint, for egress, I mean, that just wouldn't work out. So Heatherwick Studio obviously looked at it at that aspect, as well as, form, landscape, and a place for the community to just gather. Super interesting. So like I said, that's on 14th Street. So what happened was, once we crossed over into Manhattan, we're in Washington Heights, and we get off at the GW transportation terminal, and we got to go down to 178th and take the A train. So the A train is on the west side and it goes local and express. So for those that don't know New York, there's like A, B, D, 1, 2, 3, F. There's a bunch of different trains that I've actually used and haven't used, just because a lot of it might be like, you know, on the east side or like more midtown, or like going into to Queens and Brooklyn. But let me pull up this transit. I don't want to be saying some wild stuff that actually didn't happen. So yeah, there's a stop at 175th and there's a stop at 181st. So we but you can actually get on at 178th. So we would go down to 178th once we get off, crossover to New York, take the A train all the way down, express, thankfully, because local would be taking forever, all the way down to 14th Street. Let me see where it actually drops us off. 14th, all the way down there. And the reason why we went down to 14th was because we figured if we're gonna be strategically planning our trip, let's make sure, because it's New York and we're gonna be walking, let's make sure that we're not going like back and forth. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be going to, you know, 14th, and then I don't want to see something at 125th, and then I got to go back to like 42nd, and then I got to go back to like 181st, and then we got to go back down to like, you know, 14th again. We kind of wanted to start at the bottom and then go all the way up. So the A line stops at 114th, and then we walked over to the west about 2-3 blocks over to Little Island, and then a little further south, that's when the High Line starts. So we figured, like, okay, because Little Island's right there, let's stop at Little Island, let's see a couple buildings, let's walk the island, and then let's go down a little more south and then get on the High Line, and then we'll walk straight north. So the real day one, we ended up doing about 12 miles, 11, you know, average, we were doing about 12 miles a day. This could have been one of the 10 or 11. We were just getting started, and we didn't actually expect to walk that many miles. So we went to go see Little Island. After that, actually from Little Island, we saw one of, what did we see? We saw Bjork Ingels' new XI building. It's going to be a obviously a luxury multifamily residential building. And then we also saw Frank Gehry's IAC. This one has an interesting facade. It curves, and unfortunately the weather wasn't perfect. We actually went during the morning, so the sun was still kind of like on the east side. Sun wasn't setting, so the sun wasn't hitting this building. But whenever the sun does hit the IAC building, it's glorious. It's honestly like water. Like, the facade is already waving, but then like with the and the bottom half of the windows are frosted. So when the sun is hitting it, it really gives it a different like texture or feel. So this Frank Gehry building, it's a IAC building. It's a headquarters that's on 555 West 18th Street. So we were at 14th. We walked west to the Hudson. Before we entered Little Island, we walked north about 4 blocks to 18th Street, and we saw this IAC building. And you can right next to it is the GOATS, Bjork Ingels XI building. So it's the corner, it's northeast corner of 11th in Chelsea's Manhattan. It's a neighborhood. And it was completed in 2007. This was actually, the building was Gehry's first in New York and featured in world's largest rendition screen at the time and in its lobby. We tried entering because I knew it was office, right? But for some reason, I thought it was residential, meaning I thought like the lobby would be accessible. So we tried going in there. And of course, for first time I tried a couple years ago, it was locked. doors were locked. Could have been the day. I think I went on a weekend. But this one's during the day. So we tried entering, and of course, you know, basically they were like,
FBI, open up!
They didn't want nobody coming in there, right? So like they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And the same thing happened to me when my dad and I tried going into Zaha's, which we ended up seeing walking the High Line later this day. Just because it's like high profile, you know, they pay a lot of money for the this isn't residential, but Zaha's is, residents pay a lot of money for that door security, and they don't want just random Joe Schmoes walking in. So tried with the IAC, Frank Gehry's building, wasn't able to. But then we went down to the High Line. The High Line, I don't know exactly. Let me look up the High Line. High Line length. The High Line is it's a 1.45, pretty much a mile and a half long public park that's built on a elevated rail structure. It's from Gansevoort Street to 34th. So we ended up walking 14th Street to 34th Street. So we walked 20 streets, and that's New York blocks. That's no 2 second, 2 minute walk. We walked about 20 streets on Manhattan's west side for the entire High Line. And it's interesting because like along the High Line, you get to see a lot of the city. You get to see, every time I walk it, I feel like there's something new because some crazy amount of progress. There's crazy amount of progress there. Like I used to actually be able to see the IAC, Frank Gehry's building, walking it, but just with all these new buildings that are going up, it's kind of like hidden it, and now you can only see a portion, which is interesting but not interesting, because it's like, man, I really like that view, but now that there's other buildings going up, and of course it's residential, and that area is getting more more, I guess, like wanted, right? Everybody's wanting to live there now. They're finding this space somehow. So we're walking the High Line. You can see the IAC, but barely. You can see XI, but barely, because all these other buildings are starting to pile up. There's a structural building that we did in construction class, that's like pretty much abandoned, but it looks clean this time. High Line, New York City structural. I don't remember the name, but we definitely learned it in construction class at Tech. So that's pretty cool. I've already knew it was there, but it's like, you know, I'm the tour guide, right? So I got to be pointing out things. So I'm like, hey, you remember that one? He doesn't, but I'm like, hey, okay, well, we learned that one in construction class. That's on the High Line. We saw Zaha Hadid's High Line project. And that one is called... It's 520 West 28th. This one's interesting because like the balconies and units have this like curved elongated oval shape, which is pretty cool. And the concrete and steel, I honestly can't describe what the facade is doing, but it's super interesting. You guys should definitely look up a picture of the 520 West 28th. It's like on the street side, it's not anything fancy. It's basically a box, but the facade is doing something with that concrete and steel. But it is cool how on the High Line side, that's where you see the curved portion of the design. It's kind of capsules kind of pushing in and out, completely made out of steel. I got a little fooled. I thought it was some type of concrete, which there definitely is, but the majority of it is steel, and these capsules are kind of pushing in and out for some depth, providing shade, providing some articulation on the facade. Super interesting. I really wish I could have got into this one, but it is a beautiful piece of architecture. So a little description on Zaha's website on this is, there's a powerful urban dynamic between the streets of New York and the High Line, a layered civic realm that has developed over generations and in many iterations. So 520 West 28th, which is the project, conveys this contextual relationship that they were just speaking about. And it's applying new ideas and concepts to create the latest evolution of the site's rich history. So they're obviously trying to develop and evolve that kind of history within this part of New York. It has split levels. So there's a split level of the design that defines varied living spaces and echoes the multiple layers of the civic space on 28th Street and the High Line, which makes sense. If you see the facade, you kind of see this push and pull kind of going back and forth. So totally makes sense. So that was an interesting, it's always good to see a Zaha piece. The High Line also has a lot of seating areas, which I knew about, but I was surprised. So I've walked it twice, once in the winter, once in warmer weather, and then again now in May. In the winter, you don't really notice because there's still people there, but definitely not as many. And of course, nobody's going to be sitting out there in the cold. But there's a lot of pockets along this elevated platform, this new garden, right? The High Line, where people can take breaks and just sit. And a lot of the seating areas, there was one that's like amphitheater seaters, so you end up walking down, and the seating is sloped going down, and then you have a perfect view over a street. So you're literally over a street, looking straight down. So that's a beautiful view. And then there's other just pockets of greenery and landscape throughout the whole thing. Because I went on a weekday, I always go on a weekend. Because I went on a weekday, my first time noticing that it actually passes alongside of a school. Now, remember, the High Line is an elevated railroad system. It's no longer in use, but it's being repurposed for this public park. And there's actually a school, middle school, that's literally right alongside of it. So we were walking down the High Line and we just hear these kids. I'm like, what in the world? Like I've never heard this before. Like, it was so interesting to see like the interaction. Like their windows and doors were open. Like, you could see the cafeteria and they could see us. And it was, you know, there was no connection. Obviously these, you know, this, the building and the High Line weren't designed together. I was like, man, like, that'd be really interesting if there could be some type of integration. Could be a little dangerous because then kids can just like leave or whatever the case may be, but or people can just get in. That's even worse. But you know, if we're thinking, you know, if we're gonna just real quick go into where I love to go into, we're gonna go into this dream world, right? If we're doing a studio project and you're creating this elevated public park, and then you have some type of building, which is a school or any other type of program, having that connection between the two, I mean, that's always a given. You got to do that. So anyway, that was super interesting. And then all the way at the end, so remember, we started at 14th Street. We ended up going all the way 20 streets north to Hudson Yards. So Hudson Yards is where the Vessel is. There's a mall. There's the Shed. And, you know, we took pictures. Unfortunately, it's temporarily closed, so we couldn't go up there. Cool thing, though, the Shed was actually open. And by open, I mean this. The Shed is a building in Hudson Yards where the skin is on these huge wheels, literally like almost five. Oh, no. They're like 5'10" tall. I've stood next to it and got my photo taken, and they're pretty big. And of course they have to be able to move a beast like this, right? But I've never actually seen it open. So when I was walking, I kind of noticed it wasn't super tight in front of it, but I did notice that it's relatively smaller than what I remember. And it was because this time they actually had opened up. So the Shed does a performing arts. It's, let me get some information on that, but it does a performing arts. So they opened it up and they can use it for concerts and venues and things of that nature. You know, they have a current and upcoming events. So what are they doing? So the Shed produces and welcomes innovative art and ideas across all forms and creativity. The idea is to build a shared understanding of our rapidly changing world and more equitable society. So there's like a mirror ball, there's a sonic sphere. This fall there's Open Call. So Open Call returns with new guests of emerging NYC artists, things of that nature. Next time I visit, see, like, out of these 5 days, we pretty much saw everything. So the only thing left to do is pretty much spend money on museums and like Broadway shows or these type of events that would be in the Shed. But first day, about 10, 11 miles. I mean, we went all the way from, Washington Heights, right, all the way down to 14th Street. We saw Little Island. We saw IAC by Frank Gehry. We saw XI by Bjork Ingels. Then we went down to Gaines Fort Street, got on the High Line, went all the way up to 34th Street, went to the Hudson Yards. We saw the Vessel. We saw the Shed. We ate, and this was the first day we didn't have anything new, you know, because we were actually on a time crunch at about 1 o'clock, I believe, or 1:30. We had a walk all the way up to the pier, which I'll get to next quickly. So we just had Shake Shack. Other days we had different food, better food, try new things, but we didn't want to. That's the thing about New York. Like, if you don't already know where you want to go and eat, like, you really just got to get what's local and what's nearby. And that was the easiest thing. The rest was like, there's a bunch of, like, you know, not food trucks, but like food carts. There's a lot of like Mediterranean, Arab, tacos, hot dogs, obviously, pretzels, things like that. But, you know, we're like, let's just get something we know, because we're actually about an adventure on a 2-hour ferry ride around Manhattan, which was pretty sweet. So after that, we had to go to New York City Manhattan ferry ride. Let me see where it's at. Actually, we were at Hudson Yards, which is 34th, excuse me. We had to go all the way up right there. It's next to the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum, I believe. So we had to go to like 42nd-ish. If I'm not mistaken, there was a huge Navy vessel right next to it. So I could actually just look that up. New York City Navy Ship Museum. It was right next to, yeah, the Intrepid Museum. So that's actually a cool thing. That's something. So, like, we try to not spend any money because we knew the transportation and the food was going to be the most. So we didn't go to things like the Intrepid Museum. That's something that I saw along the way that I'm like, you know what? If we ever do come again and we are going to want to see new things, we're going to have to spend money. The Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum is an American military and maritime history museum on Pier 86, minus 40 streets. It's at 46th Street along the Hudson River in Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of the west side of Manhattan. That's something that we would definitely have to do. Might be a little cramped in there, but definitely a cool experience. I haven't been on that one, but I've been on one. Could have been that one as a kid. I really don't remember. But that'd be definitely interesting. So from 34th, we walked up to what I just said, 48th, right? Walked to 48th Street. So we started at 14th. Again, a 48th. 34 blocks. 34 New York blocks. I'm trying to find on the map. I'm at 55th. So we went to Pier 88. There's a huge line. This was about $60, I believe, for a two-hour ferry ride, which was super interesting. I mean, this was something that I've never done before, and it got me to see some things that I've never seen before. So once it took off, it started going south towards the south side of Manhattan. And obviously, we basically just saw like the High Line all over again, IEC, Frank Gehry, XI, Bjork Ingels. And then we could see the whole like skyline of West Manhattan. We actually went over the Lincoln Tunnel, and then we got to the Statue of Liberty. I stayed at the Statue of Liberty for a little bit. My first time seeing it, did the whole story about how, you know, it was from France and it was really copper and from oxidation and the ocean sea salt, et cetera, et cetera. It turned green. And everyone's like, oh wow, I never knew that. And it's like, guys, come on, you should know a little bit about something. But that was cool seeing for the first time. I got a nice picture, saved on my phone. Will I ever go see it again? Probably not. There's a bunch of people actually on the island, but I think I heard that like you can't even go up there. So I don't know. I'd rather spend my money on this nice ferry ride, 2 hours long, going around all of Manhattan, than spend probably the same amount if not a little bit less, hopefully it definitely should be less, to go to the Statue of Liberty. And I like the angle from further. If you're right underneath it, come on, picture's not gonna be that great. Governor's Island, then we ended up going towards Brooklyn now we're on the east side. So the ferry actually didn't go all the way around Manhattan because of the tides. But we were able to get to a good part of the East River. We went around Roosevelt Island. So we almost got to like East Harlem, Randall's Island. But there's a bridge up there that the chief in charge, he didn't want to risk his boat. She's precious, right? Something else on this ferry ride, there's two things that I found interesting. When we rounded off the financial district, I'm going over the Brooklyn Bridge. Two things. So the guide, right, on this gave us some insight where we went under the Brooklyn Bridge and we went under the Manhattan Bridge. And funny enough, the Brooklyn Bridge is the bridge that everybody knows about, right? Nobody really knows about the Manhattan Bridge. Funny enough, on another day, we ended up going into Brooklyn to get that famous Brooklyn Bridge picture, like down the street. And that's actually not the Brooklyn Bridge. That's actually the blue. You can obviously see in the photo that it's blue. It's the Manhattan Bridge. The Manhattan Bridge is the blue metal bridge versus the Brooklyn Bridge is cast in stone. So, I'm a visual person, so I got to be looking this up. Brooklyn Bridge, New York City. Another day, we actually end up walking it, which is really cool because there's a lot of people selling things, trying to, get your money. I got little keychains here and there, a bunch of people taking pictures, music playing. It's nice. All right, so funny enough, the Brooklyn Bridge is a hybrid cable-stay suspension bridge in New York City. It opened in 1883, and it looks like it's, and it actually is, it doesn't just look like it, it's completely cladded in stone. And this bridge, 1883, and at this point, no one was confident in steel structure. Then that's a totally different like podcast and conversation. But obviously steel structure boomed in Chicago, after the Great Fire. So everybody, all the architects rushed into Chicago and then started building these skyscrapers in metal. And that was Great Chicago Fire, 1871. So this was built in 1883. So 1871, to 1883, 71, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. 12 years later, and people still, that's when the fire happened. I'm not sure when the architects started actually building the metal frame, steel frame sky rises. So the Brooklyn Bridge is cladded in all this stone, but the bones of it were actually metal. And the reason why they had to clad it was because everybody saw the bracing and you could the holes, you could literally see through the structure, and they weren't confident in its ability. So they had to clad in stone. So it's about 20% metal, 80% stone versus the Manhattan Bridge, which I actually think is a more interesting bridge, not only because of the view from Brooklyn, which is in Dumbo. It's a street in Dumbo. That's the name of the neighborhood. But actually because it's completely made out of metal, the Manhattan Bridge was made in or completed. The construction started in 1901. So now we're in the 20th century. It opened 1909. It took about 8 years to construct. And this one is like I said, the blue one, completely made out of metal. But the interesting thing about this is because it was fully steel structure and there wasn't any stone, it actually has one of the subways that runs under it because it's able to hold a lot more weight. And by this time the community and everyone were more comfortable with it. So I thought that was super interesting. I've never, like, all the times I've lived there, I've never really known about the Manhattan Bridge. I just knew the Brooklyn Bridge and I not even ever walked it. So that was super interesting. I would highly recommend doing a ferry tour. $60. You know, if you're in New York, I think it's honestly worth it. And the guy really knows his knowledge. I mean, I feel like he's been doing this since day one. Like, dude got out the womb and was ready to be talking about New York to the day he dies. So that was super interesting between the two bridges. I don't believe you can't walk the Manhattan Bridge. That's the cool thing about the Brooklyn Bridge, that it has, you know, on the Manhattan Bridge, but the fact that it has, it's completely made out of steel, has a subway, one of the lines, going under it. Because it has that structural stability. It's about 20%, stone and 80% metal versus the Brooklyn Bridge, which is the complete opposite. It's able to hold all that weight. Super interesting. And then as we kept going up the east side, looking at the east side of New York and the FDR, there was a couple other buildings, the skyscrapers that were really neat and enjoyable to see. But I'm glad that we turned around, you know, by Randall's Island right after Roosevelt Island, because honestly, once you get into like Harlem and you see some of the Bronx and Washington Heights, the buildings are no longer these magnificent like skyscrapers. They're more, you know, the buildings that have been there forever. They're brick and they just all look the same. But so that concluded. After that, we were pretty much ready to go. We ended up going, so he turned around, went all the way back to Pier 88 and 48th Street. We took the A train back up to New York. I mean, I'm sorry, we took the A train back up to Washington Heights, 178th. Then we had to do the whole shebang. We went into the terminal. We already had one of the tickets, so we took one of the New Jersey transit buses across to Fort Lee. And then after that, we took one of the small white buses, another $2, back to Cliffside. And that ended and came to the conclusion of day one in the city. So it was awesome being back. It was a different experience for me being that tour guide, but pretty interesting. That's technically day two back, but that was our first day in the city. So again, a little recap on what we saw. We walked 12 miles. That day we actually did walk 12 miles. There might have been another day that was 10 or 11, but on average 12. So that day was 12 miles. We saw Little Island. We saw the High Line with different architectural buildings along it. We took that Manhattan Ferry. We saw this Statue of Liberty. And before actually going home, we stopped at Central Park. We pretty much stopped there almost every day just to see certain parts of it. Central Park's huge, as everybody should know. So we had to make sure we saw different parts of it. So we went there about three times minimum. But yeah, but that was that first day back in the city. And yeah, can't wait to tell you all about more. There's plenty to see, but that was just one day. We went all the way to 14th, saw Little Island. We walked the entire High Line, saw some great buildings. You know, we saw Hudson Yards, took the ferry around, saw the entire skyline, went up and saw Central Park, then we headed back home. But yeah, stay tuned for some more episodes on my trip to New York. That was day one out of the 5 days. Get ready to walk 12 miles every day if you want to be able to be there in a short period amount of time, but literally see everything that's going to be important. On that next day, I believe we went to it was Friday, so we went to the east side. So I'll talk about what we done on the east side, and I'll say one of the main events of this trip. That episode definitely be coming soon. We also have some new guests, some new sound effects. So things are going to be changing up on the podcast. But yep, we're going to be seeing where things go. And thanks for listening.